A British research team aims to prove that 3D technology could help Homeland Security discover more suspicious activity. Surveillance systems usually rely on 2D images, but a team from England's Center for Vision Machine is building a system to extract high-resolution 3D video from a distance of several hundred feet. For details, we're joined by Professor Melvin Smith, director of the Center for Machine Vision in the Bristol Robotic Laboratory. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Good morning.
All right. So tell us what this research is all about. How can you get a 3D image from far away, and how could it help surveillance?
Well, it's normally very difficult to capture three-dimensional data over large distances, and we want to see if it's possible to do this under daylight conditions over several hundred meters using a technique we've been developing here called photometric stereo.
Okay, and what does that involve, more than one camera, or can you do it from one vantage point?
Well, it's kind of analogous to binocular stereo, the technique that we use to make sense of the world and judge how far away things are. We do that by taking two views of the scene using our eyes from different locations. Photometric stereo is slightly different in that what we normally have is a single camera, and then we illuminate the scene in very different ways using structured illumination techniques. And we use the subtleties of the shading to recover the three-dimensional shape and also the color of those objects. We've been using it in industrial inspection for a while now, but we realized a little while ago that the benefits that it offers there may also be useful in surveillance tasks, where people have to look at lots of images over long periods of time and look for suspicious objects and behavior.
All right, so in a factory setting where this is, as you say, this is used, this type of machine vision, it's a very controlled setting, and you can set the lights exactly where you want them, and
right.
The objects that are being inspected go by on the exact same spot over and over. How could this apply to a real-world situation?
Well, we're able to take advantage from developments in technology. LED lighting, for example, has moved on quite a bit recently, and it's now possible to obtain lights that are very bright and can be focused over very long distances. So by setting these lights up in a particular kind of way, we can control the lighting. We're also trying to use a particular type of camera technology that's very new. It's called black silicon cameras. And what it does is allows us to image in a part of the spectrum around 940 nanometers, which the sunlight is very much reduced. Normally, sunlight is a big problem for any sort of imaging system. So by using this kind of camera technology, we can use our lights and avoid the problems from the ambient sunlight.
So what do you envision as some possible practical applications? Usually think of surveillance as looking at crowds for picking out faces, that kind of thing.
Right. Well, we've already been using the technique for three-dimensional face recognition at close range. And it's working quite well because it's very low cost and it can be quite robust. The challenge here is to make it work over much larger distances. Incidentally, we also use the same technique in very different applications. Because it's so good at capturing three-dimensional shape and isolating color, we've been using it in the detection of skin cancer, looking for malignant melanoma, moles and suspicious lesions on the skin. And we've also been developing technology to allow three-dimensional imaging with endoscopes to look for polyps in the colon. So it has a multitude of applications.
So getting back to the security, suppose, Great Britain has the same issues that the United States does these days with respect to, looking at things. Suppose you wanted to use it, say, in an airport. Describe how it might be set up and what it would require of that airport to be able to feed the right kind of lighting to this camera that you describe.
Well, the advantage of it is that we can retrofit it to existing systems. So, for example, if you think of an existing system in an airport, we may have cameras, we may have lights. What we need to be able to do is to control those lights in a very particular way. So we have to be able to switch them on and off very rapidly and to be able to control the cameras. So it can be added to an existing system. And then what we'd be trying to do is to look for what we call shape signatures. So, for example, that could be the shape of a particular face to recognize an individual, or it could be whether a person is carrying something suspicious under their clothing, say a weapon or some sort of explosive device. Because we can be sensitive to shape, we can amplify the shape. So we distort the surface slightly to make it look more three-dimensional, if you like, or we can alter the way the surface reflects light. So instead of looking dull, we can make it look very specular. So the idea is really to draw the attention to these difficult-to-see objects that may be concealed.
We're speaking with Professor Melvin Smith, director of the Center for Machine Vision in the Bristol Robotic Laboratory. That's in England. So, for example, now, I don't know whether they have them outside of the United States, but in the United States they were dealing with those machines that gave an image of the body, and you could see all of the features as well as whatever might be in somebody's pockets. Do you see this as replacing some kind of a thing someone would have to walk through, or would this be a new type of device where you would still walk through and the lights would flash on and then the person would keep going?
Well, we've already got a system here. We think of it as a kind of portal where somebody walks through an archway so we can control where they are in space. That helps. But we really want to be able to move away from that. That's kind of what we're doing now. So we want to be able to have people freely roaming around, not confined in any particular way, to make the system more realistic. The systems you were talking about just now, they tend to penetrate clothing. We don't actually do that. We're using near-infrared lighting. So the objects that we see, what we're relying upon those objects doing is distorting the surface in some way. So if somebody is carrying something under their clothing, then we rely upon a slight deformation of the clothing in the vicinity of where that object is. So we can only penetrate the surface of the clothing to a very limited extent. So it's slightly different from that other technology.
So, but if you did away with archways or with people of walking by a certain spot to see them, how would you be able to project this light, because you say it turns on and off quickly while the image is captured, for crowds?
Well, that's right. I mean, one way of doing it is to have motorized devices on the lights, so the lights can be, their position can be altered, so we could focus in on sensitive areas. If an operator, for example, is using the system, they may pick something suspicious that they need more clarity. So if they're looking at a two-dimensional image, they can't see clearly what's going on. They pick on the screen the region they're interested in, and then the lights would alter their position and zoom in on that particular area, and then we would obtain high-resolution three-dimensional data that we could enhance in that vicinity. That's one application. Or the other is to simply flood the scene with using LED lighting, and then we can capture three-dimensional data on a much larger scale. But then it still relies upon the operator to be able to identify where they are particularly interested in looking.
Yeah, so they no single person can look at everything all at once, so that's kind of the challenge there, in other words.
That's right, and that's really where the thing I mentioned earlier on, this shape signature, becomes useful, because what we're trying to do here is rather like we've done in the manufacturing application, where we've got lots of objects here that we want people to look at to look for defects, and that's very monotonous, people get bored, and it's difficult to do in a human way. We want to automate that. In the same way here, we've got scenes with lots of people. The video is being acquired continuously. It's very difficult to look at that manually and spot something that's suspicious. So what we want to do is get the system to recognize shapes that it thinks are worthy of investigation. The way I think of it is rather like a spell checker. So if an operator is sitting in front of this thing, it will say, okay, I think there's something suspicious about that person. They're holding something that you may want to take a closer look at. So it's drawing attention to areas of interest.
So it sounds like what you envision then is a way of looking at everybody kind of as they pass through an area, but then only needing to single out specific individuals. And maybe, I mean, can you envision this possibly getting rid of the long screening lines where everybody passes through a little tiny spot, sometimes waiting for an hour, you know, and replacing that?
That's a very good question, actually. That's exactly what we want to be able to do, because we don't want to force people to walk through gateways, through portals. That's gonna hold people up. What we want is for them to be able to be to wander through in a very natural, relaxed way, and for the system to take care of identifying what it thinks needs attention.
Now, we've been focusing on airports, but not everything is that high volume. I'm thinking here of, say, in Washington, we've got the various congressional office buildings, which are not the Capitol itself, but they also need security. And at some times of the day, you might just have individuals walking through one at a time. So in an application like that, it would be relatively simple.
Yeah, that's easier, actually. We call that one-to-one matching. So if I'm trying to gain access, say, to a sensitive area, then I can present myself and say who I am. And the system will then look at the data it has on the shape of my face, and it will either say I recognize that person or I don't. What's much more difficult is this business of having lots of people in a crowd. We call that one-to-many, because the system has to be able to identify where the individuals are and then look at a database to see, well, are they already recorded on here as somebody that we need to draw attention to or not. So the access to a secure area by an individual is actually a simpler problem for us.
And what about sunlight? Why is that? Why is that an impediment to getting 3D imagery?
Yes, sunlight's always the enemy for us, even in manufacturing applications. It's really because it's so uncontrolled. Particularly here in the UK, where we've got lots of cloud, you know, one minute it can be very bright and sunny, the next minute the lighting can change quite dramatically. What this technique of photometric stereo relies upon is us being able to control the illumination in the way that we want. So if we can diminish the effects of sunlight, that gives us a chance to operate over much larger distances. So, for example, if you imagine we illuminate the scene with our light, that creates a particular kind of shaded image. And what we do is we know the way light interacts with objects, so we can work backwards to calculate the shape of that surface. If the sunlight's there, then we're not controlling that, and it's much more difficult for us to make the algorithm work.
All right. Well, sounds like an exciting development. Professor Melvin Smith is director of the Center for Machine Vision in the Bristol Robotic Laboratory in England. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.